And well, thank you, Pastor Shelley, for allowing me to preach here this morning. It's always an honor and privilege. And we are here in Acts chapter number 20. And the context of this chapter is that Paul is gathered together with the elders at Ephesus, and he's kind of giving a farewell address to them. He's giving them some exhortation. And I want to focus on verse number 28 of Acts chapter number 20. Let's read it together, verse 28. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God," notice this, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." And in this famous, powerful verse, we learn a few things. First of all, we learn the fact that Jesus Christ is God, because it says it's the church of God, which he, who's that? Jesus Christ, has purchased with his own blood. So that's a great proof of the deity of Christ. And another powerful truth in this verse here is that the church is deserving of our love. Why? Because it was literally purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. That means it's very precious to us. That means it's of high value to us if it was literally purchased with the most expensive thing in eternity, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I kind of want to preach a special sermon this morning, a little bit different than what I would normally preach. And the title of my sermon this morning is Why I Love Steadfast Baptist Church. Why I Love Steadfast Baptist Church. You know, here we learn that the church is purchased with the blood of Christ. So right off the bat, that makes me love the church of God. Amen. And not only that, I think Steadfast Baptist Church is a special church. Now, I moved to this church in August of 2020 before I was going to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. And I had met Pastor Shelley one time at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And he was needing an employee, and he called me and kind of asked, you know, what is the desire of my life is, would I ever want to serve in the ministry, would I ever want to maybe be a pastor or just work for a church? And we talked, and he ended up offering me a great opportunity to come work for him. And that was an amazing opportunity that I took advantage of, because being able to serve in the church is a blessing. Why? Because it was purchased with the blood of Christ. I mean, there's nothing greater than you could do than that, serving Jesus Christ, serving in the church. And I have 4 points this morning of why I love Steadfast Baptist Church. And number one, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its pastor. I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its pastor. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. You know, if this is the only church you've ever been to, here's what you got to understand. Not all churches are created equal, okay? Some of us have been to other churches. We've been to possibly even bad churches. I spent 3 years, three long, grueling years going to a Ruckmanite old IFB church. In fact, it's the same church where Sam Gipp famously said that Jesus Christ is not your Messiah if you're a Gentile. And I suffered through 3 long, grueling years of this. And as soon as I'd get out of church, you know what I would do? I would go on YouTube and listen to Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez and actually get some good doctrine. But look, you got to realize that if you're in Steadfast Baptist Church, you are blessed today. And if Pastor Shelley is your pastor, you are blessed today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And notice, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." You know, one of the things that the Bible's exhorting us to do here is to know those that labor among us and that are over us in the Lord. And you know what? You should endeavor to know your pastor, Pastor Shelley. You should endeavor to get to know him as a person. Why? Because a pastor is a very valuable resource in your life. And in fact, the Bible describes elsewhere that pastors, preachers, evangelists, that these people are actually gifts from God to you. And so because of that, you should get to know him, because the more that you know him, the more that he knows you, the more he's going to be able to effectively minister unto you. And that's what a pastor's job is to minister unto his people. And it's a lot easier when you know your flock to know what do they need. You know, if you've ever read Pastor Jack Hyle's book, Teaching on Preaching, he kind of equates preaching to a doctor giving prescriptions to a patient. And the doctor, he analyzes the patient, he sees what they need, and he gives them the right prescription. Well, that's a lot what preaching is. A lot of times, you know, you have the apothecary of the Word of God, but you kind of need to know what people need so that you can make sure you're getting the right prescription of the Word of God. And so that's one reason why you want to get to know your pastor. If go to Ephesians chapter number 5, Ephesians chapter number 5. But you know, the pastor of any church is charged by God to watch over the flock in spiritual matters. That's a very important job. That's a very daunting task. And so we should appreciate the work that pastors do. Ephesians chapter number 5, I kind of mentioned this earlier. In verse 11, it says, "And he," that's Jesus, "and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." So, you know, there's different roles in the church, and throughout history, there's been different positions like apostles. That doesn't exist today. But we do have preachers, we do have teachers, we do have pastors, we do have evangelists, we do have deacons. Why did Jesus give us those people? Look at verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You know, the twofold mission of the church is to evangelize the lost and edify the saved. And the pastor is the head of that operation, and he's making sure that those tasks are being accomplished. Look at verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." And you have to realize that Pastor Shelley cares about this flock, and he doesn't want people to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. He doesn't want people to be carried to and fro. And so what he's doing is he's ministering unto us. He's doing the work of the ministry. And one of the things that he does that's super important, the most important thing he does, is preaching the Word of God. And let me tell you something. That is a blessing that we have today. And that is one reason I love Steadfast Baptist Church. Because you're not going to go to just any church in America and get the type of pastoral leadership that you have here at Steadfast Baptist Church. You're just not. And it's not about, you know, a cult of a personality. No, it's about someone that's just faithfully doing the work of God. That is a blessing. And that is a reason to love your church. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Let's read this this part again in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 13. It says, "And to esteem them very highly," means to respect them, to keep them in mind. "Why? In love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves." You know, one of the aspects of ministry is the fact that it's a lot of work. And the Bible says that you should esteem your pastor very highly in love. What does it mean? It means love your pastor. Respect your pastor. Why? For the work's sake. And I don't know if you realize this, but Pastor Shelley does a lot of work for this church. And if you went to other churches, you would realize that this is a special church that has a lot more to offer. Okay, here's some of the work that our pastor does. First of all, the most important thing, like I said, is preaching. He preaches 3 awesome sermons a week. All of his sermons are just packed with doctrine, packed with good application for our lives to make us better Christians. And that's something that we should esteem him very highly for. That's a great work that he's doing. Okay, here's something not every pastor does. How about all these awesome documentaries that our church puts together? That's a lot of work. But that's, where does the Bible talk about making documentaries? It doesn't. He's just going above and beyond. Why? Because he's a hardworking pastor. We should esteem him in love for that. How about all the great fellowship events that we have for free at Steadfast Baptist Church? Again, if this is the only church you've ever been to, you don't realize that most fellowship events in other churches, they charge you money to do anything. You know, at this one church I went to, they literally charged you money for the handouts if you wanted to go soul winning. They charged you money for it. And here, we probably all have 1,000 handouts just sitting around at our house, right? We need to make sure we're being good stewards of the church's materials. But look, providing those fellowship events, that is a great blessing, but that's a lot of work that Pastor Shelley's doing. Okay, multiple conferences that this church puts on. The Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship, where this church is bringing literally the best preachers in the world, in my opinion, here in this room to administer the Word of God to you. That takes a lot of work, but that's a great blessing. That's one of the reasons I love Steadfast Baptist Church. Another thing that he's done that's a lot of work is he's put on soul-winning seminars in the past. He wants to make sure that our church is very equipped to go out and fulfill the Great Commission and make sure that we're not just going soul-winning, but we're actually doing it effectively. So he puts in the work to put on a soul-winning seminar. How about missions trips? That's a lot of work. I've helped him plan some of these, and it's very hard to run a mission trip. But we've done it in Mexico. We've done it in the Bahamas. I know he's gone to Jamaica in the past. And as a result of that, our church has seen thousands and thousands of people saved. That's a lot of work, but you know what? I commend him for that. Soul-winning marathons. I mean, it seems like Steadfast has a soul-winning marathon every 3 or 4 months. That's awesome. It's a great opportunity to go soul-winning and to get better at soul-winning, to teach people soul-winning. Here's another thing that's not in the Bible. How about a podcast? The Baptist Bias Podcast. Who watches the Baptist Bias? Just about everyone, okay? Look, that has nothing to do with the commandments of God or anything like that, but he's very passionate about getting Christianity into the culture. And I share that same passion. I think that is a great idea, that we shouldn't just be hiding as Christians and just only sticking to our church. No, we actually want to make this country Christian. Yeah. We want to make the people around us Christian. We want to make the culture Christian. And so he's bringing the Baptist bias to the culture. Weddings and funerals, that's a lot of work that Pastor Shelley does. Counseling people, taking time out of his day to help people that are in need. That is a lot of work. And here's the thing, you got to realize that not every pastor puts in that much work. And so some of us are just spoiled and we've never experienced anything different, but I'm telling you, you should love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its pastor. And you should esteem him very highly in love for the work's sake. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, that's just a synonym for the word pastor, he desireth a good work. Notice, pastoring is a lot of work. And it shows in the preaching of God's word. You could tell when you listen to a pastor that hasn't put a ton of work into his sermons or hasn't put a lot of work into his study, but that's not the case at Steadfast Baptist Church. You could tell Pastor Shelley is studying the word of God. I went to this old IFB church once, and this pastor was a nice man. He was sincere. He loved the Lord. But I remember this one time where I invited someone to church on a Wednesday evening, and I was a little bit embarrassed by his sermon. And I'm just being honest. It's not necessarily that there's anything wrong with this guy. You know, I respect him. But here was the Wednesday evening Bible studies at this one church I attended for a while. Everyone would get a little sheet, and it was numbered 1 through 10, and it had fill in the blanks. And this was the Bible study. Okay, number one, God loves Israel. All right, Israel, yeah. Like, this was the Bible study. There was no expository preaching, verse by verse, explaining the book of Zechariah, explaining the book of Revelation. No, that wasn't happening. We were filling in a blank that said Israel. Okay, and I'm like, oh, I just got this guy to come to church, and this is the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. And I'm just like feeling a little bit embarrassed to do that. But look, we don't feel embarrassed to bring people to this church. They're going to hear hard preaching. You know, they may be surprised by the content of the Word of God, but at least they're getting the Word of God here. At least they're getting the truth here. If they don't like it, it's because they don't like the Bible. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Look at verse number 17. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. You want to know why it says those that rule well and those that labor in the word of doctrine? Because there's some pastors that aren't ruling well, and there's some pastors that are not laboring in the word of doctrine. But we have that today, and so what we should do is give our pastor double honor. Respect him highly. Give him our love. Give him our support. That is what the Bible teaches. Look at verse 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. You know, one way that you could show love to your pastor is by not receiving false accusations against him. Yeah, right. And by not receiving criticism and crap talking about the pastor. Yeah. Because let me tell you, if you just decided to go on Google this morning and type in any pastor's name from the new IFB into the Google search engine, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of false accusations. Yeah. But the Bible is saying here, don't even receive a false accusation against an elder, but before two or three witnesses. So you know what that means? That means that when your family is talking crap about Pastor Shelley, and I know it happens. Yep. I know it happens. It means you don't give heed to that garbage. Right. You say, yeah, you know, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad, but I'm not listening to this. This is my pastor. You know what? You should respect the man of God the ordained minister of the Lord Jesus Christ more than your own family? You absolutely should. Because when the pastor's preaching the word of God, he's God's man, and someone wants to speak against them, they're in dangerous territory there. Yeah. Ask Aaron and Miriam about that when they speak against God's man. Okay, so you want to show your pastor love. Don't listen to crap talk about him. Don't listen to false accusations against him. And certainly don't engage in it yourself. It's a wicked sin in the sight of God. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So notice, you have a great pastor. We have someone that's over us in the Lord. So what does God exhort us to do? Is to submit ourselves unto him. And you know, this isn't really a question thing in other areas of the world. You know, when you get on an airplane, there's someone called the pilot in command. Yep. And you know what he does? He makes the decisions. The stewardess doesn't go to the cockpit and say, "Hey, pilot, let's go heading 170 instead of whatever you wanted to go. I want to just change the heading here. You know, why don't you just put the flaps down early? You know, why don't we just put the landing gear down in the middle of cruising altitude at 30,000 feet? Hey, why don't we turn on the spoilers midair?" It's like, no, stewardess, go back and serve some water, go back and serve some food, and shut up and let the captain pilot the airplane. Okay? And look, just like there's qualifications to become a pilot, you wouldn't just let any bozo fly you 30,000 feet above the air at 500 miles an hour. Why would you let just any bozo preach you the word of God and lead a church? Yeah. Yet today we see an epidemic of churches that are being led by unqualified people. Yep. People that have no business preaching the word of God, not to mention pastoring. How about women pastors? Yeah. They don't even have business opening their mouth in church, not to mention leading the flock of God. Yet we have so many people today that have an uppity attitude where they don't want to submit themselves to a pastor. They don't think that there should ever be any type of human authority or human leadership that's actually in charge. They want to live in this democracy where everyone's in charge. But let me tell you something. Democracy is a hellscape. Yep. Democracy is a terrible idea. Democracy never, ever works. No, you need a strong leader. And notice why it says that they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. You know, some people who aren't very spiritual don't realize the gravity of that statement, that there's people that have been entrusted to watch over souls and that those people will give an account to God for what they do. That is a big deal. You know, there's some people that don't even care enough to read their Bible or do anything for God. I get that. So people that are like that may not understand what I'm saying right now, but there's some people that actually take the work of God seriously. There are some people that actually realize that pastors will stand before God someday and give an account for their stewardship of the flock. And so because of that, we need to just obey the pastor. We need to submit ourselves to the pastor. Why? That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, it would be unprofitable for Steadfast Baptist Church to rebel against Pastor Shelley, to not submit unto his leadership, and cause him to do his job with grief. That would be unprofitable for this church. And thank God, I don't think that's the case. I think this is a great church, and I think that the church is in line with the leadership here. But hey, someone could come in this church in the future and try to change that. And Acts chapter number 20 talks about that. And so you need to be aware of anyone that would want to turn your heart away from your pastor or that would want to incentivize you to disobey him or not submit yourself unto him. So look, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its pastor, because of the work that he does, and even just on a personal level, Pastor Shelley has done a lot for me personally that I very much appreciate. And I'm sure there's many people in this room that could say the exact same thing. And it just shows that we have a pastor with a good heart, with a heart to serve his people. I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its pastor, but go to Isaiah chapter number 58. Number two, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its preaching. Steadfast Baptist Church is a church that believes in hard preaching. And let me tell you something else, if you've never been to a different church, that is not the case in most churches in America today. Most churches are not going to do what the Bible says here in Isaiah 58, verse 1. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Notice how biblical preaching is described here. It's described as being loud. You go into a lot of churches today, you're going to see a dude with skinny jeans sitting on a bar stool with an ear mic coming out, and he's like whispering to you his sermon after you just spent 40 minutes listening to a bunch of effeminate CCM music. That's what a lot of churches are today. There's no crying aloud. There's no yelling. There's no showing people their transgression. It's just a joke is what it is. It's just a social club is what it is. Or it's just a money-making scheme a lot of times is what a lot of churches are. But notice what else biblical preaching is showing my people their transgression. See, a lot of people think hard preaching is when we get up here and we rip on the sodomites. Or when we get up and we rip on the drag queens. Or when we get up and we rip on Hillary Clinton. We get up and we rip on Joe Biden. And look, that could be hard preaching in a sense. If a liberal was in here, if some weird Democrat was in here, yeah, okay, that's hard preaching to them. But notice what real hard preaching is. It's when you're showing God's people their transgressions. And that is a blessing from God. You may not think so. You may not feel that way. You may feel upset when you hear it. But that is what God has commanded pastors to do. I like what Pastor Shelley says. He says that hard preaching is biblical, corrective, and specific. And you see that in the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God, correcting people's sins, and showing people their transgressions. That's very specific. But let me just bring a reality to you, and that is that most people do not like hard preaching. Yep. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people in this room right now that think they like hard preaching, and let me just break this to you, you don't like hard preaching. Okay? Because there's a lot of people that think they're faithful and they're not faithful. They think they're really forgiving and someone crosses them in the slightest way and they're not very forgiving. People think they're so charitable, but actually when I see people's lives and when we observe each other, there's actually very few people that are charitable. There's actually very few people that are faithful. And let me tell you something, there's actually very few people that actually like hard preaching. There's actually very few people that can have their specific sin called out and screamed and yelled about for an hour long, and actually, though it hurts, internalize the fact that, you know what, this is actually helping me. This is actually coming from a place of love, and I need to accept this, internalize it, and apply it to my life. There is very few people that do that. And so, look, if you're in this church, I'm very happy you are, but you need to like hard preaching more. Because I've seen it over the last 10 years of being in church that people think they like hard preaching, but no, most people do not like hard preaching. Even in the new IFB, we need to learn to love hard preaching. Go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12, look at verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You know, we know that because God is our Father and because God is a very loving Father, after we get saved, when we sin, God's going to correct us. God's going to chasten us. God's going to punish us for our sins on this earth. He'll never send us to hell. We can never lose our salvation, but he is going to punish us on this earth. And we know that that's coming from a position of love from God, right? Well, let me tell you, sometimes hard preaching feels like you're being chastened. Sometimes hard preaching feels like you're being scourged, okay? And it's not necessarily feeling fun at the time, but look at verse 7. It says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." You know, when you're being chastened by mom and dad, or you're being chastened by God, or it seems like you're being chastened by the pastor from behind the pulpit, let's be honest, in the moment, it's not fun. It kind of feels a little bit grievous to our flesh, doesn't it? It's not a very fun experience. But keep reading. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Notice, if you actually take the correction and you actually exercise that in your life, if you don't just get mad and upset at the preacher and think that he's just coming after you personally, and you just want to shut off your mind and become stiff-necked and hard-hearted, but you actually exercise that, what does it yield? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Let me tell you something. The problems that people have in their lives today all over this world are pretty much the same things. People struggle with sin. People struggle with alcohol. People struggle with adultery. People struggle with fornication. And you know what? Those things are ruining those people's lives. Whether they realize it or not, they may think, oh, I love my girlfriend. I love my boyfriend. Why would I want to, you know, break it off or have to get married this young or anything like that? But they're actually destroying their life by sinning. People getting divorced, they think that that's a good idea. They think that they'll be happier, but it always ruins people's lives. It ruins children's lives. And when people go to a church where they actually hear a man of God say, no, the Bible says never divorce. You're wrong for wanting to divorce your spouse. The Bible says no to that. No, adultery is actually a capital offense in the Word of God. No, you're not to commit fornication. No, you're not to drink the devil's drink. People will get offended by that. But you know what would happen if they actually exercised the things that are being preached? It would yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in their life. They would experience peace. And that's something that everyone wants. They may not understand how to get it. A lot of times people's kids are a nightmare and they want peace in their home, but they don't want to do what the Bible says to actually spank your kids, right? But look, it may seem like chastening at times. It may seem like it's hard to hear, but realize that if you internalize it, you just accept it, you just be strong, and you apply it to your life, that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life. You need to learn to love hard preaching. You know, when I first got saved as a teenager, I heard really hard preaching on alcohol by Pastor Anderson. This was like the first year I ever went to church. I think it was like 2013 or 2014 or something like that. And he's ripping so hard on alcohol. And let me just be honest to you, as a brand new Christian, when I heard this, I was thinking, I don't know if he's 100% right on this. Because he was saying, these are all the terrible things that are going to happen in your life if you drink alcohol. This is the consequences of it. And I was looking at people in my life that I knew that drank, and I'm thinking, I just don't see this in their lives. And I thought, well, maybe these people that I know are the exception to the rule. You know, maybe the Bible is right, maybe Pastor Anderson's right about this, I'm just not sure. But I thought, you know, these people that I know, they're the exception, because I'm not seeing all these consequences in their life. I'm not seeing their life be destroyed necessarily. But then one day, they weren't the exception anymore. Finally, that day came where something extremely catastrophic came in their lives that affected them for the rest of their life because of alcohol. And you know what I realized? I'm a prideful idiot for thinking, maybe the biblical preaching isn't right about alcohol. And I realized, oh, it's right. Sometimes God's just merciful and long-suffering to us. And you think, well, I haven't seen the consequences of my actions yet. Yeah, yet is the key word there. But you know what? We need to have the humble attitude that just realizes that whatever the Bible says is right about everything, all the time, every time. And when the preacher gets up and preaches against our sins, we may think that we're the exception, but we're not. And if you're the exception today, that's only by the result of God's grace to you. And that could run out. And so you need to take it seriously when you hear the preaching of God's word and love the preaching of God's word. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read a couple verses for you. While you're turning there, I want to read for you 1 Thessalonians 5:20. It says, despise not prophesyings. You know, the reason that's in the Bible is because it is a tendency of human nature to despise or want to turn our ear away from the preaching of God's word. So God has to exhort us, hey, do not despise prophesying. Still go to where I told you. I want to read for you Ecclesiastes 7:5. The Bible says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Look, that statement is not in line with our human nature, with our flesh. Our flesh would rather go to a church a lot of times where there's a show, where there's lights, where everything's nice, where nice words are being spoken. That's just a lot of people's flesh. That's just how we are. But the Bible says it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. But how many people today are actually seeking to go to a church where they will be rebuked. Very few. Just like there's few that are faithful, there's few that are charitable, there's few that are forgiving, there's few that actually like hard preaching, there's few today that actually want to go to a church with the desire that the pastor will rebuke something in their life. That is rare today. I'll read for you a couple more. Proverbs 9:8 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Look, people that have quit different churches in the new IFB because their sins were preached against, and it says that they hate, if they feel like hatred towards the pastor that does that, that is showing that that person is a scorner. Yep. That is showing that that person is froward, that that person has a serious heart issue. And you just have to realize that when your sin is being preached against, that it's not just you. Every single human being in this church is going to have their sins preached against from time to time, because newsflash, we're all sinners. Yep. And even when I'm writing a sermon, I'm seeing this verse. I'm like, okay, that verse just rebuked me. Oh, that scripture just rebuked me. It's literally everyone, all of us. So what a prideful attitude to think like, well, I never want to be preached against. It's like, are you God or something? Yeah. Do you think you're the Lord Jesus Christ now, where you have no sin? It's ridiculous. Leviticus 19:17 says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." Notice, what is showing love to your neighbor? Rebuking him. Why? Because you're not suffering sin to be upon him. Why wouldn't you want sin to be upon him? Because it will ruin his life. It's actually hateful not to say what needs to be said from the Word of God. You're there in 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 2. It says, "Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." You know, not only does Steadfast Baptist Church just believe in hard preaching, but also Steadfast Baptist Church believes in preaching doctrine. That is something I love about Steadfast Baptist Church, is that this church cares about doctrine. Amen. What is doctrine? Doctrine is just teachings of truth. And here's the thing. Every single person on this earth, every single organization has doctrines. Yep. They have teachings. You know, I've never been in the military, but I know several people that have, and I've heard people say this, that when you go in, you go through an indoctrination phase. Is that correct? What are they doing? They're teaching you how to behave, their beliefs, how they want you to represent the Marine Corps or the Army or whatever, right? And many jobs have an indoctrination phase where this is how you represent the company. This is how you dress. These are the policies. These are the teachings of the company. You know what? The Bible is full of doctrine. The Bible is full of teachings. And if we're going to sit here and open the Bible, let's just not make it a game. Let's actually just see what the truth is. I want to know what the doctrines are. I want to know what the truth is. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Flip over. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What is doctrine? It's just teachings of truth. And what is the job of the church? It's to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Yet, this is crazy to me, but many churches today do not care about the truth. They don't care. You know, that freak in Watauga that preached a whole sermon against me and Pastor Shelley when all that stuff was happening a few years ago, if you were at our church, and he was saying, yeah, you know, back in Bible college, we're all reading Leviticus 20:13, and it does say that homosexuals should be put to death, but we just don't know if that's really what it means. It's like, hello, person that doesn't care about doctrine.
Yeah.
Because you're admitting that's what it says. You just don't care.
Yeah.
You just don't actually want to believe what the Bible says. But the church of God is to hold up the truth, to be a bright and shining light in this nation and in this world, regardless of that truth is popular or not. There's a lot of truths today that are very popular, and a lot of churches are still willing to preach some of those truths because it's popular. But you know what? Our nation is becoming a dark place. This nation is forsaking God. This world is forsaking God. I mean, thank God I didn't watch the Olympics opening ceremony, but I heard about it, that they had some sort of tranny Last Supper blaspheming Jesus Christ. Look, someone needs to hold up the Word of God and say the truth, the uncomfortable truth that no one wants to say today, that these freaks should be executed by the government, that they bring nothing good to society. They're a scourge. They're disgusting. Just cyst on a nation and on a world that needs to be wiped off the face of the earth and sent to hell.
Yep.
But churches aren't willing to say that today because it's unpopular. But you know what? This church needs to hold up doctrine, whether it's popular or not. Flip over to Titus 1 a few pages over. Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1, we're talking about doctrine here. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know, one of the jobs of a pastor, if you read Titus chapter number 1, is to shut the mouths of false prophets. And you know how you do that? You don't do that with good speeches, with being really smart, being really educated. You do that with the faithful word. You do that with sound doctrine. And with that sound doctrine, you can exhort and convince the gainsayers, those that speak against the truth. And I love that Steadfast Baptist Church is a church that cares very much about doctrine. You know, this church is not wishy-washy on what it believes. Yeah. Look, I don't know everything, but I know that Steadfast Baptist Church is right about salvation. I know it. I don't have to wonder, guess, hope. Look, I don't know everything, but I know that Steadfast Baptist Church is right about baptism being by submersion in water, by being after salvation, that it's not by sprinkling and it's not baptizing babies. Look, I know for a fact that God doesn't want us to confess our sins to a priest. I know for a fact that God doesn't want us to repent of our sins for salvation. I know for a fact that you can never lose your salvation. You want to know why I know that? Because the faithful word. And preachers today need to get up and just boldly proclaim the faithful word. Because people today have this attitude where like, oh, there's so many religions, there's so many doctrines, how do you know you're right? Are you saying that you're the only one? You guys are the ones that have salvation? Yes! That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and every other religion, you'll spend eternity in hell. That's a hard line there. But we take that hard line, why? Because of our opinion? No, because of the faithful word. Because of sound doctrine. And it is a blessing to be at a church that believes in sound doctrine. But not only, you know, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of the preaching, hard preaching, doctrine, but you know, also the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is one thing that makes Steadfast Baptist Church special. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Now, these numbers have changed a little bit because I wrote this sermon earlier this week. But from the year that I moved here in 2020 until this week in 2024, this is the number of people that have been saved by the soul-winning efforts of Steadfast Baptist Church. 9,818 salvations. Glory be to God for that. And look, praise God that we can go to a church that cares about preaching the gospel. You say, oh, soul winning doesn't make a difference. Really? 9,800 people whose eternity has been changed, who is going to spend eternity in heaven now, no matter what? Look, that's worth it, folks. Yeah, man. That's worth all the time, money, work, energy, sweat, sunburns. It's worth all of it to go out there and preach the gospel. Why? Because about 10,000 people are going to heaven now. Amen. Just from the work of Steadfast Baptist Church since 2020. Praise God for that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We're not going to let that happen. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, this church is not a church that wants to hide the gospel from the lost. No, this is a church that realizes that there's a world out there that is dying and going to hell that will spend eternity in flame and in torments, and we want to spend our time, effort, money, and energy on helping those people. And, you know, let me just exhort you, if you're a person that does not go soul winning, I want to read verse 6 again. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Look, you're sitting here today and the light has been shined unto you. You're saved. You know you're going to heaven. You have the light. Why would you not want to bring that light to someone else? How can you live your whole life knowing that heaven and hell are real, knowing that your real mom that you know, your real friend, your real coworker, are going to spend eternity in a real place called hell, you know the truth, and you don't want to preach them the gospel. Look, that's a sick thought. That's a heavy thought, to think that we can affect people's eternity like that, but we can, and we do, and you need to do the same thing. And if you're not a soul winner, I exhort you today to learn to go soul winning. Come to a soul winning time, become a silent partner. You don't even have to preach the gospel. You can just be a silent partner, and that doubles our efforts. If you don't know how to go soul winning, you know, I mentioned Pastor Shelley has put on a great soul winning seminar in the past that could be a great resource to you. Recently, I've been making some videos where I've just been putting on a little camera while I go out soul winning and filming gospel presentations. So hopefully people that don't know how to go soul winning can see what a real encounter looks like with a real person getting saved with a real gospel presentation. And you can just copy that exact thing and just write it down if you have to. Write down a script. I don't care. Just learn to preach the gospel, because it's the most important reason you're on this earth. And Steadfast Baptist Church takes that very seriously. So number one, I love Steadfast because of its pastor. I love Steadfast because of its preaching. Number three, go to 1 Corinthians 5. I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its policies. Because of its policies. I'm talking about church discipline. Something that, again, if you've never been to another church, you might take for granted and realize that this is something that's not practiced everywhere in America today. It's not practiced in many churches today. But let's look at the principle behind this. I'm not going to show you everything that the Bible says someone should be church disciplined for. I just want to show you the principle here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. It says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" What's the principle here? The principle here is that if you have someone in grievous sin, in sin that's worthy of church discipline, if you allow that leaven into the church, it will leaven the whole lump like a piece of bread, meaning it will corrupt the whole church. That is the principle being taught in the Word of God. That if you just allow someone that's just a rampant fornicator, drunkard, idolater, all the different things that the Bible lists for church discipline, someone's unrepentant of that stuff, and you just allow that to be in the church, and it's known, and no one says anything about it, and kids are growing up in church, and they're seeing people commit fornication, and there's no consequences for that, what is that going to do? It is going to corrupt other people. Yeah. It's going to corrupt the church. It's just a fact. And look, it's a blessing today that, of course, yeah, we're all sinners. Absolutely. Every single one of us are a sinner. But it's great that this church is not full of corruptness like this. It's great that I don't have to worry about if I'm going to church with someone that's just reeking of booze because they're such a drunk. It's great that I don't have to go to church sitting next to an idolater. It's great that I don't have to go to church sitting next to someone that is a tranny. Okay, these are great things. It is a blessing to have policies like this. Yeah. What does the Bible say? Verse 7 says, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Look, I'm thankful for the policy of Steadfast Baptist Church of practicing church discipline. And the only people that wouldn't like that policy are probably people that need to be kicked out of church anyways. I mean, if you're just a righteous person, a sincere person with a sincere heart that wants to serve God, you probably read 1 Corinthians 5 and you're like, amen. I don't want those people here either. The only people that would get offended by this kind of stuff are people that are probably guilty of it themselves. Yeah. You know, another policy that I really love about Steadfast Baptist Church is the family integrated model. Yeah, look, that is a blessing to have the children in the service. That is something that's very rare in other churches today. You go ahead and go to 2 Timothy 3. I'll read for you. Matthew 19:14. "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, we as a church, we need to have a mentality that cares a lot about the next generation and wanting to make sure that we're passing the torch, that we're passing the doctrines and the teachings of the Bible to the next generation. Well, what's a great way to do that? How about having them in church? Yet for some reason, Christianity today has just cut themselves off at the knees where they don't want the next generation hearing the Word of God. What is up with that? It makes no sense. Separating them with a random stranger that, oh, they've been background checked. You don't know who that person is. It's usually someone that's just randomly hired for a low-paying job to watch kids. You know, it's not a safe thing to do at all, especially in the time that we're living in. Leaving your kids with random strangers is a terrible idea. And a lot of times the people that are attracted to that type of position are not necessarily good people. They're not all bad either, but you know, it's not worth taking the risk at all. One time I was at Sure Foundation, I was part of the safety team there, and this really weird guy walked into church, and before church he was looking around at everything, and he straight up asked me, "Hey, where are the kids kept at this church?" That's a horrifying question coming from an old dude by himself with no family. Like, why would you ask that question?
Yeah.
But just realize that predators target churches. Predators target the weak like children. And it's a naive thought to have that you could just drop your kids off at church in the nursery and because it's church, they'll be safe. Because it's church, they'll be okay. Look, some of the worst predators on this earth are in churches. It's weird because church attracts like the best people on earth and also the worst people on earth.
Yep. Right.
And like pastors are usually like the best people on earth or the worst people on earth.
Yep.
And so you can't just take a gamble with your precious children that God gave you to protect, that God gave you to raise, and just drop them off with a stranger. Don't ever, ever do that. And I appreciate the policy that Steadfast Baptist Church has of protecting children, having them in the service to preach the Word of God or to listen to the Word of God. Lastly, this morning, you know, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its pastor, because of its preaching, because of its policies, but I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its perseverance. Because of its perseverance. Look, it's in the name, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. That's not just a name for us, that is who we are. And I've seen that because this church has been tested to see if we really are steadfast. I told you go to 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 12. It says this, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It is a guarantee, no matter if you're living in 1950s America, no matter if you're living in the 1700s or in the colonial period or in 2024, no matter what culture you're in, if you are living godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You know, don't glorify some other nation or some other time in the past and think, "Oh, if I lived here, I wouldn't suffer persecution." Wherever you are, whatever time you're living in, if you're living godly, you will suffer persecution. And we have definitely seen that as a church, haven't we? And maybe not everyone in this room today was with us during that time and experienced the things that I'm going to talk about. So let me just give you a quick review of some of the things that happened to Steadfast Baptist Church. You know, first of all, before I ever even came to this church, Pastor Shelley already had protests at Jacksboro Highway. So that was even before my time. You know, this church was living godly in Christ Jesus even back then. But, you know, I remember in 2021, Pastor Shelley preached a sermon called Sodomite Salvation Debunked. Epic sermon, fiery sermon. And it was like either the next day or the next weekend, I went to go guest preach at Sure Foundation Baptist Church in Spokane. And while I was up there, I was at the airport and I got a call from the Hearst Police Department. And I'm like, this is not good to be getting a phone call at like 6 a.m. from the police. And they're saying, "Hey, there's been a brick thrown through your guys' window. You know, your alarm's going off. I checked the security cameras. Cops are going through our church building with guns, clearing it and everything." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, it's on. Here we go." And I'm seeing news articles and I'm seeing thousands of messages coming to our church, thousands of phone calls and voicemails. Literally, you just put your phone down and it's just vibrating all day. It just doesn't stop. Doesn't stop. From all over the world, phone calls coming in, people hating us. And I remember when that happened, I was thinking, this is not a one-week protest that we're about to experience. I did not think that for a second. I was like, oh, this is going to be a fight for a long time. And it was. It was a fight that literally went on for years and years. In fact, this June was the first June since I've been here that we have not had protests.
Yeah.
So that tells you how long that fight went on. We know we're protested all summer long. And then we had this Satan worshiper, Satanist loving landlord, some faggot loving landlord that decided to evict Steadfast Baptist Church wrongfully for the preaching of Pastor Shelley, kicked us out. And we had to have church services every single week at different hotels throughout DFW. So we had to get boxes of audio video equipment, get boxes of hymnals, and we sung a cappella or Brother Jared Plant. Where are you at, Brother Jared? He's hiding. God bless you, Jared. Thank you for your trumpet. Otherwise, I would have been singing a cappella every single time, you know? And sometimes they would follow us to a hotel, and we had to find a new one and just pack up just over and over and over, going through this mess. Finally, we get a new building, and the protesters followed someone from their house, found out where we are, and it all started again, the protests at Watauga. I preached a sermon there, which I felt like was the most mild and caveated and just logical thing ever, and people got really mad about it. It went viral too. The phone calls started again. People were following me and my wife to restaurants and coming to my house for like a year straight. And it was just craziness. I mean, that time was just crazy. It was. There was a lot going on. Let's see. I don't want to miss anything. Oh, so then, you know, we got evicted from Watauga again, and we had to do the hotel church thing all over again, going to different hotels once again. These protesters are following us there, getting us canceled at different hotels. Thank God that this church is in DFW, because there's so many hotels here that you can keep picking all these different ones. Like, I'm thinking about towns I used to live in, like Boise, Idaho. Like, you would have run out of hotels. Like, this would have been a serious problem there. But just 8 million people there, we could accommodate it. That was great. Then, during this whole crazy time, these three wicked people decided to illegally seize the bank accounts of Steadfast Baptist Church and stole over $100,000 of church money that Pastor Shelley had to litigate in court and get that all taken care of. Look, that's persecution, and it's quite a bit. And it was a crazy time. During that time, there was a lot of opportunity for people to quit church. And that's why I'm bringing this up. You know, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its perseverance. Look, you had plenty of opportunity to quit going to Steadfast Baptist Church. One thing I did enjoy about being protested is that if you were here at Steadfast Baptist Church, it's because you wanted to be here. No one's accidentally stumbling into Steadfast Baptist Church when like hordes of demon-possessed freaks are out there screaming at you, right? Like, if you came here, you wanted to be here. And during that time, we experienced a unity in church that I've never seen anywhere else. This church during that time was brought very close together because of the battle that we were going through, because of the hardships that we were going through. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 58, 1 Corinthians chapter number 58. And look, I'm boiling that down into a very quick recap, but it didn't feel like just a quick recap when you're living through it for years and years and years, okay? And just even recently, I mean, it doesn't happen that often, but even recently, I was getting weird messages from sodomites. Even recently, random people I went to high school with are messaging me, is this you on TikTok? Like, there's still kind of weird stuff happening. It's just not as prevalent as it used to be. But 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That verse is not just words to this church. That verse is who we are. That verse is how we operate and live as a church. That being steadfast, being unmovable, not moving our positions, not moving our preaching, not moving our policies, not moving from anything that we have said or done, but rather remaining unmovable and steadfast in the Lord. Why? Because we know that the work that we do for God is not in vain. We know that regardless if the world hates us, if God is pleased with us, that is all that matters. And praise God we have a building, but we don't need to have a building for God to be pleased with us. Praise God that we're not going to hotel church all the time. I love that we have a building. But look, we could still be blessed by God greatly being in hotel church forever. And God could still be pleased with us and love the work that we're doing. Because here's the truth, is that during this time when we were being attacked, we had zero losses. We had only victories. You say, what? But you got kicked out. You had to move around. Yeah, but here's the thing. How many sermons were stopped by the protesters? Zero. Yeah. How many documentaries were stopped by the protesters? Zero. Yeah. How many soul winning times were stopped by the protesters? Zero. How many missions trips were stopped? Zero. How many conferences were stopped? Zero. How many times was someone coming to church and getting saved or getting counseled or saving their marriage or learning things about the Bible to improve their life? How many times was that stopped by God's enemies? Never. They didn't win at all. They had zero victories. We had all the victories. They lost every single time. And so here's the thing. Right now, Steadfast Baptist Church is not necessarily going through persecution right now, but it could again someday. And what you need to do is you need to remember this time and realize that no matter what the church is going through, that we are still winning if we're preaching the Word of God, if we're being faithful to what He's told us to do, if we're going out and fulfilling the Great Commission, if we're bringing them in and discipling them, we are still winning. And look, I love Steadfast Baptist Church because of its perseverance. Because the devil tried to stop this church. The devil tried to stop the work that was being done here in Texas. And guess what? He failed. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is something that we've seen happen. And here's the thing. Our church may not be going through persecution or tribulation or trials right now, but maybe in your life, maybe in your personal life right now, you are going through tribulation. Maybe you are going through a trial. Maybe you are having financial problems. Maybe you are having health problems. Maybe you're having marriage problems. Maybe you're having problems with extended family members. Look, in the Christian life, you're always pretty much going to be in a trial or about to be going into a trial or barely coming out of a trial. That's just how the Christian life works. And so what you should do is realize, hey, if God took Steadfast Baptist Church through our trials, He can take me through my trials. He can take you through your trials. And remember, the perseverance of Steadfast, you too need to be steadfast on a personal level. You too need to continue to serve God, continue to read the Bible, continue to support your pastor, continue to pray and do the things you need to do, and realize that if you do that, God will take care of you. Romans chapter number five. The new IFB kind of has a reputation where our enemies will be like, oh, you guys kind of like glory in tribulation. You guys kind of glory in going through battles and fights. Okay, well, let's look at Romans chapter number 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Yeah, I do glory in tribulation, because the Bible literally says that. Why though? Just so that we could look cool, just to be like, yeah, we got protested, yeah, we went through a hard time. No, it's because it actually brings experience to our lives. It causes us to be patient. It causes us to have that experience to say, I've been through this, our church has been through this, you've been through it on a personal level, and what does that give you? It gives you hope. It gives you hope for the future. To know that whatever comes our way, God is on our side. And if God is on our side, that's all that matters. You know, someday, I don't know if it's our generation or one down the road, but someday there's a great tribulation coming, greater than anything we've ever gone through. And look, there's churches right now that I know of that have been through more than our church right now on this earth. And there's people in the future that will go through way more things than we will ever go through. But you know what, though? God's people being persecuted in the past and staying faithful, and God delivering those people, and God still being pleased with those people, and God protecting those people should give every single Christian in the world, this generation and those to come, hope that He will do the same for them. I mean, isn't that why we like to read a lot of the stories in the Old Testament? We see God's power and His might. We see Him deliver God's people. We see God split the Red Sea and destroy all the Egyptians and save the children of Israel. And doesn't that give you hope that we have that same God on our side that could protect us? It gives me hope. Look, it should give you hope for the future, that no matter what this church goes through, you just keep supporting your pastor, keep preaching the Word of God, keep soul winning, keep doing the things that you need to do, and God will protect you, God will deliver you. And here's the thing. Someday in the future, if a generation goes through the Great Tribulation, there's going to be some people where God doesn't necessarily deliver them physically. There will be people that are martyred. There will be people that God has called for them to die physically for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a reality that people can face today. But you know what? He still delivered them from hell. And He still saved them. And they're still going to spend eternity in heaven. And this life, this body, our age, our pain, our method of death, all of that is just temporary. It's 100% temporary. The truth is, if you're saved, you'll live in eternity in heaven with God, forever saved, forever triumphant, forever victorious, forever steadfast. Amen. In conclusion, let's go to Acts chapter 20. Last verse we'll read. Definitely thank you to this church. The last several years has honestly been the best years of my life, so thank you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Look, church is the most important institution in this world, and you should love it. Amen. Continue to love Steadfast Baptist Church. Continue to love its pastor. Continue to love its preaching. Continue to go soul winning. Continue to support the policies. Continue to persevere against tribulation. Continue to be steadfast. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for the opportunity to serve here the last 4 years. I just pray that you would bless these people, that they would continue to be steadfast. Love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. In closing, let's go to song number 150. Song number 150. My faith has found a resting place. Song number 150.
My faith has found a resting place.
You were all dismissed.